Hello, everyone. This is Dr. Joanne Dahlketter with Performing Edge Coaching International on our ongoing mentoring calls. It is January the 23rd, 2014, and Happy New Year again to everyone. And I guess it's, I don't know if it's too late to say that, but today we want to talk about getting in the media and how that can help you to get clients and build your coaching business and get lots of free publicity that would normally cost thousands, millions of dollars. You know, when you get interviews on the media, you can get all that for free, which is great. And there's lots of techniques to doing that. I've been doing this for many years successfully. So I wanted to share that. Right now I'm involved with the Olympics and working with athletes going to Sochi to the Winter Olympics. So I wanted to talk to you about how I'm leveraging that with the media and how you can do the same thing, whether or not you have athletes, you know, there, and just how to do this process in general, and then how to also capitalize on hot topics, you know, like what just happened with the playoffs, getting to the Super Bowl, with the Richard Sherman ranting interview right afterward. I don't know if you guys heard that, but that was a huge thing where there was an interview by the guy Richard Sherman the defensive player that tipped the ball that won the game or helped to win the game between the Seahawks and the 49ers, and then afterward went on to this incredible rant on TV, national TV, that got everybody talking. And then that's the kind of thing that you could capitalize on, that you know, media were calling me about that, because it's something that people are just that's in the news every day now. So that's one example. So, but I just wanted to first check in with all of you and see how you're doing. Amy, you were given an update there about what's happening with you. If you want to let everyone know what you're doing, and that would be great. You always
sure.
Yeah.
I had a meeting last Wednesday at the Curtis Institute, which is a well-known music conservatory in Philadelphia. Well, it's one of the best ones anywhere, really. So it's really, very elite. And they only have about 150 students there.
What's it called again?
The Curtis Institute.
Oh, a music institute?
Yeah, it's a conservatory. And so they have the best musicians that they pick from all over the world. And what they do is they let them stay there as long as necessary, and they're mentored by professional musicians here. And they have all different types of really interesting touring artists come to mentor these kids, so it's a really cool place. So so we met, the only problem is these kids are so scheduled and they're practicing, you know, kind of trumps everything else, but the woman that I met with was very interested in hearing about how I could help coach them through getting their performance to the best that they can be and work on maybe a little bit of balance in their life and things like that. So that was the conversation. She was interested in the fact that I could Skype with the students and also said that they have a 3-week summer camp and that would be a good option. So she told me to send her some information, and I did a couple days ago, and that she would talk to some people, and you know, at least it might just be a referral that I would have from them, but it was a really interesting place to visit.
Yeah.
So I don't know what'll happen, but it was interesting to go. I would love it to work.
Yeah, and it's a example of how these performing edge coaching principles and this kind of work can be done anywhere. Whether it's with athletes or with musicians, any kind of performing artists. Like you say, you're really interested in the creative arts, and you all of you might get clients like that. It could be musicians or people who are speaking, or could be a comedian, who knows, would be funnier, or actors, or writers, all those kinds of creative people. Really need this kind of work too. All of them have anxiety, performance anxiety, or writer's block, and that kind of thing. So you can take these same principles and training, and work with them in those areas too. So, congratulations, Amy. That's great.
Thank you. I just want to tell you one more thing. Yesterday I sent out about 12 emails to different coaches at universities in Philadelphia, like Penn and Villanova and Bryn Mawr. There are a bunch of different colleges around here. And Villanova has a big sports program. So I read a little bit about the track and field coach, and I sent her a personal email, and I was telling her about you. And I put your name in there, and I told her all your accomplishments, and I said that I'm one of your trained coaches, and you work, you know, with Olympic athletes, lots of different runners. So I'm hoping that that is going to spark something in her. I'm sure she'll respond to me.
Yeah.
But I thought that was a good idea to throw a ringer in.
Yeah, that's great.
To a track coach.
Yeah. What did your email say? If you want to share just the essence of it or what, or ask.
Yeah, it said, you know, about my training, about my background, and that I was one a performing edge coach trained by Dr. Joanne Dahlketter, and that you, you know, how well you did in the marathon and the Ironman, and that you train elite athletes and Olympians, a lot at work with a lot of runners, and because she was the track coach at Villanova, you know, I just reached out to her to say that I'm working. The other thing is I just got a workshop at Haverford College, so now I can say I'm going to be working with the Haverford College team. You know, so I think that they listen a little bit more if you're already working with another college team. So,
yeah, that's great. So did
we'll
you
see.
Put some sort of call to action in the email or what you want her to do? Or
yeah, I said what one thing I said is that I would love to get her feedback as far as what works concerning, you know, mental toughness with her team and some areas that she would like to improve on. If we could have a conversation, and I'd like to let her know a little bit more about some of the workshops I'm doing at the colleges.
Yeah, that's a nice way to put
it. So that way I thought, you know, maybe she would like to tell me about her team, get some feedback from her. Sometimes people like to do that. And then obviously to tell her about, I'd love to get into Villanova.
Yeah, exactly. But it's a nice subtle way that you said that, rather than it's salesy. You know, I'm saying I want you to pay me to work for you, kind of thing.
Yeah,
it's just saying love to get your feedback, you know, what works with mental toughness, and maybe, you know, give you some ideas about other things that might work, or you know, that kind of thing is good. And then wanting to let you know about some of the work you're already doing. That's great. So thanks for sharing that, Amy. And you're reaching out to a lot of great people. They're really on a regular basis.
Yeah, I mean, that's really what I want to do. I want to do colleges and performing artists and work with some more tennis players. And I'm lucky that I have a good network of different places like that in Philadelphia. There's a lot of facilities that I can go to.
Yeah, exactly. And one of the things you can do for all of you, an example, say if you want to work with tennis players, when there's there's always a Grand Slam tournament going on somewhere, like, you know, even though it's not local here, but it's like the Australian Open just happened before this, and there was, you know, 110 degrees or something ridiculous there. And so you could, in your website and your blog, you could blog about that and just say something about tennis players and the Australian Open and then say you're, you know, performing edge coach and sports performance coach in your area in Pennsylvania. So that when people search for that, for tennis, and if you have those keywords in your blog, tennis and then your, sports performance and sports psychology in Pennsylvania, your city right there as keywords, they'll find you. You'll come up, you know, in the searches for Google and all. So that's a good way too to do it, to do that online. So great, yeah, that's fantastic, yeah. So yeah, did other people join us? I heard a couple other dings too.
Yeah, Pam.
Who's that?
TJ and Pam.
Oh, hi.
And Pam Gunmark.
Sorry, TJ and who?
Pam Gunlock.
Oh, hi, Pam. How are you?
Good. How you doing?
Okay, great. Yeah, fantastic. We've got a great, really good group here. Yeah, so why doesn't everyone just say something quickly about what they're doing? Since we, I don't know, Pam, are you, I was just wondering if you are working with, getting a chance to work with athletes at all? You know,
Nobody going to Sochi, just working, just because I've changed location from more California to Colorado, I'm still just totally marketing myself and getting a few clients here and there, nothing long-term. Sports-wise, but just doing the marketing and, you know, laying the groundwork to get more later, so.
Oh, great. Are you still in California, or you're moved?
1 week a month in California, and then the rest of the time in Colorado, right outside of Vail, which should be for skiing, snowboarding, and then summertime, it's a huge mountain biking area. Well, just lots of athletes, so.
Yeah, that's so nice. You can go back and forth.
Yeah.
That is great. Get the best of both worlds since there's no snow here.
Yes. Right now, yes.
Yeah. So that's great. Okay, good. You can always, there's always sports going on even before and after the Olympics here. So,
yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So it doesn't matter, you know, whether you're doing, I think you just had mentioned that before, yeah. So that's great. Okay. Yeah, TJ, do you want to check in? Are you?
Oh, yes, I'm here. I'm on mute. I haven't been doing much with athletes aside from myself, just trying to get myself into racing shape and ultra marathon shape. So I've just been using our sports psychology on myself.
Okay, great. Yeah, that takes, with ultra marathons, it takes a lot of time. That's for sure.
Yeah, it does. I have a 50K race next weekend, and I got a little bit injured this week, so I've had to really work on the mental part of it because I know physically I can do it. It's just a mental. It's all mental at this point. So
yeah.
So yeah, I'm kind of living the. I am living the performing edge. Coaching.
Good. Well, that's the great. That's the best way to. Yeah. The foundation is to live the stuff yourself, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's good. Which injury? Which kind of injury?
I just kind of tweaked my quad, and then because I kept running on it, it tweaked my psoas, and so I've just been doing a lot of work around that. A lot of, you know, manual therapy around it.
Yeah, since you're a massage therapist.
So, yeah, but I'm interested to hear. I missed last call, so I'm interested to hear what's going on with you and the Olympics because someday I really want to work at the Olympics. I don't know when, but that would be certainly a dream of mine is to work at the Summer Olympics.
Okay, great. Yeah, so let's get into that. Anyone else want to check in with progress with what you're doing first, real quick?
Well, I'm kind of in a sort of a dilemma because I'm on the opposite end of the spectrum. It's Suzanne, by the way. I work in my office is in a training center, and I figure skate, and it's got five different rinks. So I'm exposed to a lot of athletes. And however, I've been not focusing so much on the athletes because I already have clinically, I'm already booked up. So I've been trying to put together a program for, as I was saying, the students that are going through for first responders or emergency management, and I was trying not to reinvent the wheel, but it looks like there isn't any programs out there in Canada, for instance, that will give sort of like a mindfulness, mind toughness or stress inoculation for these people that are going out into the field. Either they're students and they've never been in the field after a disaster, or they have been in the field. I think those ones will be a little bit easier to work with because you could do some visualization with their experiences and things. But make a long story short, the Canadian Red Cross finally got on board with them, and they're putting together also a program, so they're interested in working with me because I was surprised that nothing really has been put together. Mindfulness is really new. Here anyway in Canada, I was surprised that in the U.S. there's a great program, as you saw, Dr. Joanne, with the for the military.
Yeah, the link you sent me, thank you.
Yeah, and so they're really into putting together sort of like this mindfulness, you know, mind toughness, getting people prepared and being really focused before they're really exposed to these sort of things, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm kind of, I've been challenged now to come up with a program that will kind of help for students and for people that are already out in the field experienced. So if it gets too difficult, I think I'll just resort back to the athletes. It might be just a little bit more realistic at this point.
Yeah. Is that, the 12-week program that you were going to do?
Well, I was going to do it, but, I mean, I think this is very similar.
Yeah, yeah.
Because apparently you can add the 12-week program in the States, you can add your own mindfulness stuff to it.
Yeah.
So they're really focused all on the very similar things that we're working on.
Yeah, okay, good. Yeah, I'll look at that link you sent me, mindfulnesstraining.org, and give feedback, and I can just write up some tips and then send them out to everyone, because mindfulness training is something that we can incorporate into with athletes as well as, you know, your emergency workers, too.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think it's so important to take care of yourself when you're, especially with emergency workers, otherwise they can burn out.
Exactly.
and cause the system a lot more health and, you know, have health problems and cause, you know, be a lot more expensive in terms of care.
Exactly.
So if they can do something every day, simple breathing and relaxation techniques and visualizing and kind of getting rid of a lot of them may be traumatized by what's going on, right? Or they see something happening, see deaths, or when they're firefighters or policemen, and they see this stuff over and over, and they need to have a clearing process, right, to get that stuff out of their mind and have a sense of peace inside. You know, just doing a simple technique like putting your thoughts and a lot of thoughts in a ball and just blowing them away. Blowing them further and further away at nighttime to be able to get to sleep so they can have really good quality sleep so they can go back the next day. I think that's really key. So that's great. Thanks for sharing that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll give you some, give everyone feedback on that. Yeah, mindfulness stuff.
Yeah, it's almost like I have to write the curriculum. It's not so much just doing it.
Uh-huh.
I have to put it together so that they can see what it's about and actually begin to teach it.
Right, yeah.
Can I just jump in and ask a question?
Yeah,
this is for people that before they go into the situations, because I've done, two different things, disaster mental health with the Red Cross and I've also... I'm a military family life consultant, have been and have done stuff with that. There's a program, it's called Battle Mind. It's in the military, but pretty much everything that I know of is for after the fact of how to recover from.
Yeah, there is one program.
But I would think any of those programs you could tweak to teach how to approach it before you go in and to know then for yourself or for the people that are going in when they're being triggered, what they're being triggered by, et cetera, and how to recover from.
What's it called again? Sorry.
There's one that's in the military that's for people when they come back. It's called Battle Mind.
Is that Michelle?
It's an acronym, and I can't remember what all the – I don't have it in front of me, but – it's a whole protocol kind of for what to do when military people come back, you know, the loud sounds that they hear, you know, the backfiring that reminds them of blah, blah, you know, and all of those kind of things. And it's how to take care of themselves.
Yeah.
Yes, that's after the fact, but that's still helpful. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, great. Okay. Yeah, thanks. And I think, Michelle, you sent in a couple questions. So I'll answer that. You asked how to. Let's see, what was it? Are you there? yeah, how to recommend a software program to do video interviews with coaches and athletes, right? Is that Michelle? I don't know.
I'm sorry.
She might be muted or something. Was that, you asked a question by email that how can we do video interviews with coaches and athletes that can be posted on our website, right?
Yeah, that's exactly what I asked. Thanks, Dr. Joanne. There's a big rainstorm here, so it's hard to hear you.
Oh, okay. The answer to that is, Google Hangouts is the best way, and it's free. And I've been doing that with some of you. The best way to learn is to do an interview that I can do an interview with me. I could do one with you. I'm doing one with each person. I know I've done one with Alex. We just did a great one. That was fantastic, Alex. and then also with Pam, we did one. And yeah, TJ, I want to do one with you too. And anyone that would like to just send me a time, date and time. And then Michelle, we could do one from Bali too, if you like, just about the work you're doing, and so I can promote you and get your name out there. And it's basically like Skype, like doing a Skype video call, except Google Hangouts is much better. You get much better reception, and the picture changes. So when I'm, if I'm talking, then my face is big on the screen. If you're talking, then your face is big on the screen. So it looks just like CNN. It goes back and forth. And you can put your website up there, and then it can get, if you want, you click the broadcast button, it can automatically get recorded to YouTube. And also, there's a little button there now on YouTube that gives you the transcript. So right, for any YouTube video, right below the video, you can click on to the right, the fourth icon to the right underneath the title, and it says transcript. You click there, and this box opens up. It's just like magic. It's amazing. This box opens up with the transcript with exactly what was said during the video.
Wow.
So it's like having your own secretary right there.
Oh, that's great. Wow.
So if you want to, like I have trouble writing and, it's just, you get writer's block or it takes forever to write something down. But I know it's for all of us, it's easier to just talk. So you can do a Google Hangout just by yourself as well. You can just, and I'll, what I'll do is I'll just put the I have a PDF file of how to do Google Hangouts, and I can just, I'll just put it up on our Performing Edge Coach website and email it to you, too, so you know how to do it. And then you can just set it up. It's real simple. It takes a few minutes to get a Gmail account, and it's free, and then you can just basically do videos with anyone. And then once you do it, even if you want to just talk about a topic or something, you're basically, it's like having your own TV show, and you can just talk about something, say for 2 minutes or 5 minutes, you record yourself, video recording on Google Hangouts, even without interviewing someone else, just doing one yourself, and then you click broadcast, and it gets recorded to YouTube right there. And then right afterward, you click on the little icon on the underneath it that says transcript, and boom, it's right there. You can copy and paste that, right onto a Word document, and now you've got two forms. You've repurposed your information, so you've not only got it in Word form, in video form with you talking, but now you've got this wonderful little article of you that would have probably taken, would take me a day to put together to write an article like that. But if you just talk, we talk 4 times faster than we type. And if you're a slow typer, then you talk 10 times faster than typing. And so if you can just type, then you just copy. And it's not perfect, of course. It needs a little bit of editing. But then you've got an article as well, and you could put that up on your website or use it for anything that you want. So that's one thing. And then let me get into now our the topic here. So with how to with the media stuff, and then if you have more questions about that, we can chat more about it at the end, Michelle. Is that helpful?
That's great. Thanks, Dr. Jan.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it's great. And so then you can, Google Hangouts is a great tool now to use. It's very simple to get started. So what I wanted to chat with you about today was, because the Olympics are coming right up, and TJ, you were talking about wanting to work with Olympians, and everyone, you know, it's a great thing to be able to think about for, you know, for these Olympics or the next ones. What happened with me was, I wanted to talk about how to leverage that into the media then. One of the great, a simple way to find Olympians is, you know, through healthcare practitioners. You know, I've got a problem right now with plantar fasciitis on my feet, so I went to a chiropractor. There's a really good clinic here in the Bay Area called Palmer Chiropractic Clinic, and so I went there, and so that you can get really good help actually from the professor, not only the students there, but from the faculty members, really give great treatment. So I went there, and then I just happened to mention to the student that was working on my feet that he said that there was a woman there, Melissa, who's training for the Sochi Olympics. And I told him I was sports psychology and an expert in working with Olympians. And he said, I can connect you with her. And so, he did that about a month ago, where he just, and one of the really quick ways that you can connect with someone is through Facebook, because everyone's connected on Facebook now. He said, send me a friend request through Facebook. You know, you can just, this student happened to be, his name was Andrew, so I went to his friend page and sent him a friend request to become his friend on Facebook, and then he accepted that, and he said he would send a letter. He was friends with the Olympian athlete, Melissa, on with her Facebook page, because she happens to be also a student right there at the chiropractic clinic. It can work out with any, even if it's not that exact situation, the same sort of thing can happen. If you ask your chiropractor or health practitioners, massage therapists, you know, do you know other athletes that you might be working with? Oftentimes they are, and they'll, connect you up with them. So that's one great way to find people. So he connected me up with Melissa. He recommended me to her, and then I went to her Facebook page and did a friend request. And things can happen so fast on Facebook. Within 15 minutes, she accepted my request, and I sent her. Even if you're not friends with someone on Facebook, there's a little. You can go to their Facebook page, and there's a little button that says message, and you can send them a message. I did that and told her who I was and that I was interested in working with her to help her, you know, make her MP3s and coaching and helping her to perform her best in the Olympics. So she said, sure, I'd be happy to work with you. And she had a race that next day in Whistler in Canada, so we connected up and did a Skype call, which is all that is free, of course. I said I would work with her on a volunteer, you know, complimentary toward the Olympics here. If you want to work with someone toward the Olympics, it's, you can have a better chance of working with them if you give them at least one or two sessions for free, or say that you'll work with them for free for that month or two before the Olympics. And then it's definitely worth it in terms of your getting the nice testimonial from them and getting more visibility and increasing your credibility. So I worked with her and made her, we got a good connection together. And then NBC had asked me, because I did some work with them for the last Olympics, they asked me if I wanted to, if I was working with athletes for this Olympics, and I said yes. And so they said, but they wanted Bay Area Olympics. A lot of times local TV stations only want Olympians from your area. And she was she is in the San Francisco Bay Area here, but she was outside the country, in Canada at the time. So but they so they were reluctant to interview me. But here's the thing: I came up with a list of questions, and I said, "Here's some things you could interview me on," so that you know, I got their interest. And the reporter said, I love your questions. Why don't you come in tomorrow and do an interview?" So in her case, you know, if you can come up with a good list of questions for the media, things that they can ask you, she said, "Yeah, I really like these questions. We'll just go down your list of questions. I'll ask you, and that and you know, that could comprise the interview." So that's what reporters are looking for, is those list of questions that they can ask you. And I'll just give you an example of the kinds of things that I gave to her. I said, you know, questions like, you know, what goes on inside the minds of these Olympic athletes? I said you could ask me, how do they handle the extreme pressure at the world's biggest sport event? I said you could ask me, how do athletes recover quickly from a setback or mistakes or a fall? And what's the role of a sports psychologist or sports psychology consultant? Another good question is, how do you work with the best athletes in the world behind the scenes? Another question is, how can the average person, you know, think and feel, perform with the mindset of an Olympian? Like, what can we learn from them? So those are some questions. Some other ones are things like fear. You know, how do you handle the fear aspect of the sport? How do you handle the pressure? And so you can just kind of think of a lot of questions like that you could ask, that the media could ask you, and then they'll be a lot more interested in interviewing you. And you can always say give your credentials and say you're, you know, certified performing edge coaching professional, of course, and that you've, you know, the athletes that you have worked with. You don't need to mention names, just mention their, what they, unless they've given you permission to, just say what sports they're in or what level they're at. Usually they'll ask you to, oftentimes they would like you to come in for an interview. So, I know, TJ, are you there? Did you have you said you wanted to know how to work with Olympians. Did you have a question about that, anything you wanted to ask me?
Sorry, I was on mute. This is good stuff. I think for me it's more just a matter of finding them, and particularly around here we don't have a lot of winter athletes. We're more summer.
Yeah.
You know, so that's why I need to look towards the Summer Olympics in whatever 2 years.
Yeah, right. And they're still, you know, working on that now. So Summer Olympians will be, usually they'll have their national, like for track and field, have their national championships coming up. This summer. And so, I think they're in Sacramento here in California, pretty close.
Oh, are they?
But I'm not sure.
All right. Well, they're probably either there or here in Eugene, so.
Yeah, one or the other.
Sure.
Of course, you've got.
So yeah, that would be a really good place to start. And you know, it's 2 years ahead, so.
Yeah.
I feel like I have a good.
Yeah, and
good head start.
You've got the Prefontaine meet, the track meet, of course.
Yeah.
You're in Eugene, or in. That's like where all the athletes go every year. The track athletes. Before. So you can always see them there by getting, you know, try to get a media pass. So that would be great. And I mentioned, when you are working with them, you know, a first initial visit, it's good to, they don't usually have a lot, you know, at first they're kind of checking you out and you don't have a lot of time and a lot of extra. They want to kind of just get right to the point. Like with, for instance, Melissa, she had this race coming up that weekend, the next day in Whistler. She's doing the skeleton, you know, like the for those of you who don't know that sport, there's the luge that most people
yeah.
know. That, you know, you go down feet first, down the long track, 90 miles an hour. You got G-forces up to five G's, which is like more than a fighter pilot experiences. Lots, and then their chin is the skeleton athletes go down face first, so their chin is just a couple inches from the ice. So there's a big danger factor there. Yeah. So I just first thing I asked her was just, you know, we didn't do a lot of chit chat, or I didn't do ask her a lot of background information. I did that ahead of time. If you have an athlete, you try to go on to their, you know, Google their name and their sport. I just Googled like Melissa Hoare skeleton Olympian Australian, because she's competing for the Australian Olympic team actually, and so I Googled that, and so I could find out her background, and found that she was in the 12th place in the last Olympics in Vancouver, and that she was going for this race. And then if you go to their Facebook page, everybody has that now, you can find out, you know, they're usually blogging or talking about the next race that they're doing or what they just did, so you can congratulate them on the race or the whatever event that they just did, so that you let them know you're in on what they're doing right now, so you're not sounding like an outsider. And even if you don't know the sport, it's okay. Like, I don't know anything about skeleton, and I'm sure not going to be doing the skeleton. Or I'd end up as one. Skeleton. I think that's why they call it that.
It's crazy.
Wow. You know, you want to just say, you're crazy. You shouldn't even be doing this. But go in there trying to look as much like an expert as you can. You can, Google that particular sport and watch it on the, there's always videos on YouTube about the sport, so you can get a little bit of a feel for it. Listen to the commentators so you know what their, the language of the sport a little bit. And then, I just talked to her about we just jumped right in and said, what is the, what do you want to accomplish? What do you need to focus on for this next race? And so she got right into saying that she was having, and this is the case with most athletes, is that they're focused too much on the results and not enough on the execution and what they need to do right now. And so she was in an Olympic year, selection year, you're really nervous about the, and she's still they're not sure whether they're Australia's going to select two or three athletes, and she's ranked two or three, number three. So if they only select two, then she might not be able to go. They haven't announced the team yet, so she's kind of right on the edge. So it's very, every race counts, and so it puts a lot more pressure on the athletes. So we've talked about that, and then how to just focus on exactly what she needs to do. So, I had her tell me about one of her best events, of course, and one of the best ways to really get into, making an athlete feel good about themselves is just to have them tell you about a peak experience or one race the best when they performed really well. And so she did that, and then that way you get the language of the sport as well, talking about exactly what she does and how she, at first it's basically a sprint, getting going with the sled. Usually you only see a tiny bit of that on TV, and then you see them sliding down the hill, sliding, but a big part of it is that sprint at the beginning. So they're actually sprinters, like TJ, you're a runner, and I know lots of us are runners, and so we can relate to the running part, and it's kind of it's like a duathlon or like the sprint, to get your sled mm-hmm. going really fast, and then you hop in the sled, and then you slide, and then it's all the same. So you go from this explosive power of running and sprinting to then getting in the sled, and that now you're the energy changes to where you're just floating, and you need to be really smooth and fast, and you're basically just driving the sled. So it's it's really different, and so if you can go into it with an attitude of curiosity, you can really do well, really relate to them really quickly. And so then if you can do the visualization, like imagine that you're, I was trying to imagine I was in the sled going down the hill as, you know, doing the skeleton, which I would never imagine myself doing 90 miles an hour. But because she described it really well, you know, you can have language, you write it down, and you can then feel like you're right there. And so then what happened was with the media is that NBC, well, they called me because I had worked with them before, but even if, and so after a while, after working with, you know, developing relationships with the media, with the TV or radio or print, magazines, newspapers, you know, after a while they'll start calling you that you don't have to do as much outreach. But at first, of course, you want to establish yourself. It's okay to call them. And so I, because I did that for the last Olympics, I called them and said I was, you know, working with some athlete and would like to see if you're interested in, you know, doing a story on that. And most of the time they absolutely love that. If they can get you and the athlete and interview both of you, that creates a really great story for the media. And, of course, you need to get the athlete's permission for that. And most athletes are happy to do that because they want to get media coverage. It helps them with their sponsorship. So that's the motivating factor for athletes to, you know, be on TV with you, or is to, you know, improve their image to their credibility and their visibility, and then, you know, get more sponsorship for their sport. You know, in this case, Melissa was getting, she's getting sponsored by Australia. The Australian Olympic team was actually giving her a college scholarship. So a lot of times, because she's an Olympian there, they're paying for her entire college to become a doctor of chiropractic at Palmer Clinic. So it's really valuable for her and really important to, you know, perform at the highest level to keep that sponsorship. And then for her training, she's being sponsored by the Olympics, the Australian National Institute of Sport, they call it there. And so she's able to get sponsorship there. They pay for all her training and her travel and so what happened was I went in first with, in terms of NBC, last week they asked me to come in just for an interview with myself, and so I went down to their studio. And you want to, if you give them a list of questions in terms of working with the media, she said she really liked the questions, and that makes it really easy for the media to be able to interview you because they don't have to think of stuff; they can just go right through this list. And then it's important for you to practice ahead of time if you can, you know, come up with your answers for each of those questions. Then it makes it easier for you, too, because you know what they're going to ask. And if you can practice, you know, write out your answers or a bit of your answer and then practice in front of a mirror, practice in front of your family, in front of your cat, you know, anyone that will listen and try to get an audience, or just at least practice out loud so that you can hear yourself and get really comfortable with answering the questions. That's really good. And then you want to speak in sound bites. They really love with TV and radio. They want to be able to, oftentimes they're taping it so they can cut and edit anywhere that they like. So you can, if you can speak in sound bites, just short phrases that they can then just take out that one little part and use that, use different pieces of what you're saying and come up with, you know, real easy phrases for them to remember, then they'll love your interview, and it makes it easy for them to pick out the real nuggets and place them in there as they're kind of cutting back and forth from other scenes and from their commentary. So so I did that interview with NBC last week, and then they asked me, well, is your athlete back in town? Or do you have any athletes that are now in the Bay Area? They were checking back with me, so they really wanted this story. And so so then I contacted Melissa, was in the Bay Area. She just got back here. And so I asked her if she'd like to come, you know, do an interview. And she said, sure. And so with NBC, so They wanted to do it at Palmer College there, where she's studying to be a chiropractor, so that they can. They often like to do the interviews out on the field, and so they'll often come to your own office, or your, or if you work out of your home, which I do, you can just have the office in your home all arranged well, and so that you're so it looks professional, and they come in and. If you have a book or anything that you want to show, your brochures or that kind of thing, you can often have product placement, so to speak, and, that put that in the background when you're speaking, or, it's always good to give them something so that they can show it on TV. That's a good way to get a book on TV if you have that, or your information. If there's any trophies that you have that you've earned or medals, you can, oftentimes they'll show those on TV to, they need things as B-roll, they call it, which is background footage that they can show while they're talking about you and talking about the work you're doing. They can be showing all the, different visuals as well. So anything that you can show is great. Yeah, you also want to, I emailed them like an image of my book cover, so they'd have that. They could show that, and any photos of you, photos of your athlete doing their sport, that kind of background material, you could do that. They even asked me for an MP3, an example MP3 that I made for my athlete Melissa, and so they're gonna, with permission from her, they're gonna use that too. So we did the interview yesterday, actually. We arranged it to go to Palmer College there, and went in, and NBC came in. It's just it was a reporter, and then the producer and cameraman came. And first, they interviewed Melissa about our work together. And the focus of the story was on the mental aspects of training. So if you can make your, the focus of your story that you pitch to the media about your training, about your work, then they'll focus on that. And it ends up being that, the whole story can be not only about mental training, but it ends up being a great story about you and your work with athletes. And so it's just a wonderful way to showcase your work in the media. So they interviewed Melissa about what the skeleton is like and the Olympics and then how important the mental aspect of training is. And she was very articulate and just talked about our work together. And then she talked about, they asked her a question, which is really good. Can you contrast before and after, what it was like before working with Dr. Joanne? They asked, and she said she would have trouble with her form and staying focused. And then afterwards, she said she was able to not be so overwhelmed. After we worked together, she could be really focused on what she needed to do not focus so much on the results of the Olympics, but just focus on things like that explosive drive running down the track, and what she needs to do with each curve, how to enter the curve, how to steer through the curve at the top, and then how to come down the other side and of each curve. And it's a very technical kind of sport, and so you need to really be on for that, or else you can get, there can be serious consequences with that sport when you're going 90 miles an hour. So she talked about all that. So they interviewed her first, which was great. I just sat on the side there and listened, and it was, she had great stuff to say, and it was very complimentary, which was really nice. Sometimes when you hear an athlete talk about you, it can bring tears to your eyes, because it was really emotional. I actually felt so good about our work together and how that you can really make a great impact on people's lives, even in a short time. And then they had us go into a treatment room there where we did a sort of mock session, and they asked us to do, imagine that, let's say you're working with Melissa right now, and just kind of talk like you would to her. So in that case, if a TV camera, if they're filming you, it's best if you can both be sitting on the same, like, chair, if there's like a bench or something there, if she can, if your athlete can sit on one side of the bench, one end, and you're sitting on that same bench, so you're both facing the TV camera, you know, and just looking at each other. That way you're close together, so it's better for the TV cameras to get both of you in the picture. And then I just, you know, would kind of go through some of the things that I would do in a session and just said, okay, so Melissa, so this next race, do you want to focus, what do you want to focus on? And then I would ask her about, you know, kind of review some of the techniques, the three Ps of your performing edge, and the talking about being really, you know, being able to recover, you know, recover from mistakes easily, some of the techniques. So just talk about a few little things, you know, so they could get a sample of what the session was like. And then they wanted me to go through a visualization with her. And so I had her close her eyes and then just, you know, kind of did a little visualization of the going down on the skeleton run. And if you can try to put some voice, you know, really make your voice go up and down, not just be monotone, but, you know, really get into the experience, kind of get excited and say, yes, you're getting to the finish line. You're, you know, you're putting up your hand, you're high-fiving the sled, and you've done it. You've done exactly what you want to do. You know, get excited and make some, you know, make your voice interesting. That's always really good. And any visuals you can show during a TV interview are great. They love to have something they can show. So, like, I had a ball there, a big ball, and I was saying if you have, Melissa, if you have negative thoughts or whatever, you can imagine putting them in this ball and just blowing the ball away, getting smaller and smaller and smaller. So it's down to the size of a soccer ball, and then it's a softball, and then it's a golf ball, and it's completely out of your vision. So anything that you can do to demonstrate what you do, that's really good for them. And then you want to, so we did that little session, and then we did some pictures afterward. And you always want to bring, if you can, bring your own camera along so that you can get a picture with you and your athlete there, and maybe a picture of you with the TV crew and stuff. That's always good for, you know, just having to show on your website, that kind of thing. And then you want to make sure that they spell your name right, especially if you've got a name like Dahlketter. With mine, it's really, you know, people misspell that all the time. So you spell it out, and if you, you know, little things like if you have a degree behind your name, put that, you know, MA or PhD, to make sure that they, you know, include that on the, they call it Chiron when they do the put the story together, and then they show you talking. They'll have your name down below. They call that the lower third of the screen. They'll put your name and your credentials there. So that's called the Chiron. And so you put your make sure that they spell your name correctly and that they pronounce it correctly. So, like, you know, you can spell it out, you know, send them an email with all the, with that information in it right afterwards so they get it correct. Say, my name is spelled this way, and then they pronounce it this way, like Dahlketter. I'll say Dollketter, which is not how you spell it, but that's how you pronounce it, so that that really helps them to pronounce it correctly when they talk about you. Then what you can do is they'll announce, here's the air date, or it might be that evening if it's something, a breaking news issue, like during the Olympics, they'll probably be calling me about different issues, controversial stuff, and oftentimes it's, you know, they want me to come in and do a tape, or they'll come to my office and do a taping, and then that very night, it'll be on the news 3 hours later. And so you want to find out what time it will be on, what the air date time is, and so you can tape it from your TV, if possible, and then you can put it on your website, or you can, often it will be online. It will used to be online as well, so you can watch it there on their TV station. And then there'll be a link there to embed. It'll say share or embed, which means if you click there, then it'll give a little code that you could copy and paste, and you can put that on your website so you have that video on your own website there as well. And that happened, you know, that can happen very quickly. For instance, in another case with this that I mentioned before, with you know the football playoff was this last Sunday, and everyone was not talking about the game. So it was a big deal here in the San Francisco Bay Area because of the 49ers, our team, was in the playoffs. But everybody, 56 million people were watching. That's like, you know, a fifth or a sixth of the country were actually watching that game. And right at the end, this guy, you know, Richard Sherman, was the defensive player for the Seattle Seahawks. He tipped the ball. He intercepted it when it was thrown to the 49ers. He tipped the ball, and tipped it to his other teammate. They caught it, and that ended up, you know, losing the game for the 49ers here, winning the game for Seattle Seahawks. And so right afterward, then, you know, Sherman came on and did this rant for, he got really angry and just went crazy on TV for a few minutes. And everyone was really upset by what he said. And so the next morning I got a call from Channel 2. And you can, if something controversial like that happens, even if you don't get a call from the media, you could call them and say, you know, want to comment on the psychology of trash talking or whatever the issue is. In this case, it's trash talking, talking negative about your team, you know, the other team. And so they came and they called up the next morning. Channel 2 did hear, and when they call you, they're basically kind of auditioning you on the phone to ask what your opinion about this is. And so if you can be as articulate as possible, even if you don't know the whole issue, just say a few words to give your opinion on an issue. And, you know, I'm not an expert on trash talking at all. I mean, in, like, say, a sport like, you know, track and field, there's not that much of that going on, but in football, there's a lot of trash talking going on where they talk back and forth against, I'm going to beat you, we're so much better than you, and that kind of thing. It goes on a lot during the game, but then this guy was continuing the trash talking afterwards, and so the questions they wanted to ask were, you know, the larger issues that are really important to us as sports psychology coaches, like, is there a place for trash talking in sports? They wanted to say, did he handle this appropriately, or was there a better way of handling the situation? They asked me, what advice would you give to Richard Sherman about how to handle himself on the media? And they wanted to ask, what would you tell sports parents about, what advice would you give to parents who their kids are watching this? You know, that it's not the best role model for kids to see, you know, that kind of thing. And so they had some really good questions. So they asked me those on the phone first to see if I was articulate and if I sounded okay on TV and or on the phone. And then they sort of make a decision if they want to interview you. And, you know, even though I'm not an expert on trash talking, I never even talked about that topic before. But I saw it on TV, and it was I was outraged that it was very unprofessional and immature, and I could say those things. And so they said, okay, we'll be there in a half an hour. So oftentimes things can happen really quickly. They needed the story that night for their 5 o'clock news. This is Monday. This happened just 3 days ago. And to my office here, I had half an hour. Sometimes you don't have that much notice time. I only had half an hour to get dressed, put on my makeup, get my hair, try to get out of a bad hair day, try to look professional, figure out what I'm going to say, all in a half an hour. And so I didn't have that much time. And they got here, and I just, in that case, you want to try to prepare as much as you can. So, you know, you go online, and then you ask, you know, try to look up that topic. because everyone's talking about it. So I just Googled trash talking Richard Sherman, Seattle Seahawks, and it's all over the news. It's, you know, front page news everywhere. And so it's easy to find plenty of information on that. And then I you want to put in the word psychology. So I just put in psychology of trash talking, Richard Sherman, and so then, you know, some other, then you can get other people's opinions, other opinions from psychologists about that, to find out what they're thinking and to get a little bit more into an understanding of what goes on in that particular sport, in football, about that. And they were talking about how, what purpose does it serve? You know, it was another question they wanted to ask me. So, you know, I read about and how trash talking is basically, well, to obviously to intimidate the opponent and to build yourself up. It's also, you know, you learn more specific things like the defensive players don't get paid nearly as much as offensive players in football. So they say, you know, actually read there that whereas Crabtree, the offensive player that he was trash talking about, gets paid five times as much. He gets paid $2.5 million, whereas Richard Sherman gets paid only $500,000 to be a defensive player. And so in order for defensive players to get the endorsements on TV, get those ads and get in commercials, you know, they need to be controversial and build themselves up. So that's one of his motivations for the trash talking, perhaps. And actually he's gotten in an ad already on for headphones for his trash talking. So unfortunately our country rewards bad behavior sometimes. And so I just, but I was able to talk about that when they came here. And also they wanted to ask me about my background. And so they looked around the room and they, you know, got, they photographed the book and you know, trophies and anything else that you can show them. They'll often photograph, you know, video that too. And so they included all that in the TV show. And so they were able to do, you know, it turned out to be a lot more, you know, including me for longer than they would have normally. I also told them that I do the MP3s for ASCII's and visualization, and so that's something that they could show visually. And so I put on headsets and a microphone, and then I just demonstrated to them how I talked to, how I would create this visualization audio. And so they showed me with the headset and the microphone talking into the, you know, into my mic, and that was another visual thing they could do. So all of that was really helpful in terms of having more what they call B-roll or, you know, things that they can show while they're talking. So the more that you can show them about what you do in your office, the better. And then what you can do is put that clip on your website when it comes on, and then you've got it there permanently to be able to show to people. So I wanted to give you those, that kind of inside story and those tips right now for some things that you can do to be able to increase your credibility. There's a lot of stuff we can talk about with media, and I wanted to, you know, maybe we can do a part two with this, with more tips next time as well. And our next call will be February the 13th, so put that on your calendars there as well. And so, yeah, I just want to check in with all of you about questions. Any questions that you have, reactions so far, or questions, comments about media, or anything else that you want to ask? I think I heard a bunch of bleeps. I think it sounds like people needed to leave. But if you have any questions, what we'll do is, I think we're... put on your calendars February the 13th for our next call, and then we'll go over part two of this, how you can incorporate the media into your own practice as well, and be able to really do a great job. Is just check in if there's anyone a final call for any questions or comments. One other thing I wanted to mention was Michelle. I don't know if Michelle, if you're still there. You had a second.
Hi.
Oh, are you there? Oh, yeah. You had a question in your email about, you said, oh, can you recommend a way that we can test the effectiveness of our blog online, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So in terms of readership, so that's a great question, too. And, yeah, for your question with that, one thing is, of course, with a blog, if you're using WordPress for your blog?
Weebly.
Which one?
Weebly.
Weebly? Okay. Well, most of the blogs allow comments. If you make sure you enable comments below the blog so that people can comment there. And then if you can ask a question, you know, in your blog and then say, you know, respond below or tell me what you think about this, you know, come up with an issue, controversial issue or something, then you can put that in the, you know, that can help you with comments. That's one way you can measure effectiveness is how many comments you get, and you want to get people engaged and, you know, commenting on what you're saying. Also, there's something called Google Analytics. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but it's free. And if you just go to Google that, Google Analytics, and you can, it's a plugin that you can plug into most blogs where you can, it's something that just tracks how many people are looking at your blog and how many people are looking at each page. So it's very specific and it goes day by day. So if you're, for instance, you come up with, you know, you have a really great article, something you might notice that the readership goes way up on one day or through 1 week, and then it might, you know, if you put in another great article, it might continue to grow. So with Google Analytics, it's free, and it's just something you can have on your blog that you can check, you know, every week kind of thing. And yeah, it's a great way to, like I say, test the effectiveness of your blog.
That's great. Thank you, Dr. Joanne.
Yeah, okay.
Can I just also ask you a quick question? Do you have an average word length that you find is more effective in your blog?
Yeah, I'd say that shorter is better. That, you know, between 250 and 500 words is good. If you have something that's longer than that, people tend to not read it, or they you know, people have real short attention spans these days. So if you have, say, an article that's, let's say, 1,000 words, it's better to break it up into three parts and say part one is around 300 words and each part 300 words. And then so that way you get more content, more articles for your website, because Google and the search engines love to have fresh content. And so if you just write one big long article once a week, you know, you're only getting, say, one article there a week. But if you break it up into three shorter pieces, say put one part one Monday and then part two Wednesday and then Friday, then you'll have more regular fresh content that you're putting up on your site. So and then it's better also to break it up into smaller paragraphs. So each paragraph is only, say, two sentences. So it's not like a different kind of writing than for a magazine or for a book, to make it easy on the eye, and so just have real short sections, say two sentences for each, two or three short sentences each paragraph, and then if you can put a list of bullet points and put headings, subheadings, often for each little section, that breaks it up so people are more likely to look at it. With the headings, you know, make them bold, so it just makes it more readable that way. Yeah. So that's good. Ask questions. Always include links in your articles, you know, to your your coaching, your product and services, anything that you want. Yeah, and then with that, I'll talk more maybe another in maybe our next call too about the e-commerce system. I think you'd asked about that before too. And
yeah,
with that, the one I use is VIPrunning.com. It's like VIP, like very important person. VIPrunning.com. If you go there, that's the link. My link that takes you to the service that I use for list building. That's another way to measure your, you know, build your email list and measure the effectiveness of your blog. If you like put a link to your product, use that and have it like a little opt-in box there. It allows you to do an opt-in box, which is where people put their name and email, and for you know, in exchange for something free that you offer them. So with that resource, it allows you to. At VIPrunning.com, it allows you to you know, be able to put it easily, put things like an opt-in box, and then take them to a page that gives you a sort of download page where they can download whatever it is for you to offer them. Yeah, like a free article or a free MP3 or something, or an ebook that you, or a free video, and that way you get that's a really good way to measure effectiveness on your blog too, is how many people are opting in. You know, going to putting wanting to be on your email list. That way, you can then continually send them emails, say once a week, and keep in touch with them, offer them valuable information, and then always have links to your site to things that you offer that are paid, so they can come back to you, and ways that they can work with you. That kind of make sense?
Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, and let's see. Yeah, other ways that you could tell are in terms of your service are with your blog is just the Google Analytics is really good to check in. And if you have a YouTube channel, which you can just go to, we'll talk about that on one of our upcoming calls too. Just getting a YouTube channel, it's basically like an account, a free account with YouTube, and if you have videos there. Then you can.
Dr. Dahlketter.
Yeah.
What would be the advantage of the YouTube over the Google Hangouts for doing an interview?
Well, they're the same thing, basically. Google Hangouts is part of YouTube. So Google Hangouts is one way of just easily getting your videos up on YouTube. So one of the same thing. Yeah, Google Hangouts is a way to record your videos, and then you just hit the broadcast button when you're gonna do your video on there. You hit this little button that says broadcast, and then once you do that, then the video automatically goes up onto YouTube. So it's one and the same thing. And then with YouTube, you can also just, if you have other videos, let's say out in the field, you know, that you've been videoing, you know, an athlete or yourself outside or something, you have another, you can take that from your camera and then you have it on your, as a video file on your computer, then you can go to YouTube and there's a little under manager there, the video manager button, you can click that and then it says upload. And so you can just go there and upload your videos that way, too. So that's another way to get other kinds of videos up on YouTube, too. So, there's many ways to – you can think of YouTube. So first, think of your blog as like the center of your business, your blog. And you want everything to come – you know, think of it like the hub of a wheel, of a bicycle wheel. And so the everything's coming into your blog because that's like your own real estate and the thing that you own there. And then as you, all the spokes go out, and then the different things that come into your blog are say YouTube and links from YouTube, links from Facebook, links from LinkedIn, links from Twitter, links from Google+, all these different social media outlets all come in through your universe or your business, your blog there. And so and you can think of YouTube as just one of the central ones, that Google Hangouts comes into YouTube. Anything that you do on Google Hangouts becomes a YouTube video, and then from there you can always take the share code or the embed code, just click there under share, and it'll give you this little code, copy and paste that onto your blog. Yeah, and so you can then, when you put it on your blog, that's another way to measure the effectiveness of your blog, because people will be watching your video there. And so from your blog, so they come to your blog and you get more visits there that you'll see that through Google Analytics. And then also every time they watch the video on your blog, you're getting more, you know, that shows up on YouTube too. That gets counted. That's more views on your video, more channel views. So you can go to YouTube, and if you have it mainly on your blog and then people are watching it there, then you'll see that you go to YouTube and you'll say, oh, look at how many views I got with my video. It'll increase, and then people will start to subscribe to your YouTube channel as well as to your blog there. So, yeah, I hope that's helpful.
Yep, that was great. Thanks.
Yeah, good. Thanks for staying up so late here.
Mm-hmm.
In Bali, glad you had a good trip home.
Yeah, I'm only here another 5 months and then back to Canada.
Oh, wow. Yeah, what a difference. I'm from Canada to Bali. It's like the extremes, two extremes.
Two extremes.
Yeah, well, that's great. Is there anyone else on the call? I think people had to leave, so.
Yeah, I'm still on.
Oh, are you? Oh, hi, Amy. Sorry, I didn't realize you were still there. Okay, great. Did you have any other questions, Amy? Or comments?
Yeah, I have one quick question.
Okay.
This is just a little, I'm going to pick your brain. On Saturday, I'm going to University of Pennsylvania to watch the girls' varsity tennis match. And the coach just emailed me saying that they have a sports psychologist that works with the team, but she would like to hear about my programs and what I'm doing. So is there anything that you would personally do to make her want to meet you more? I already sent her an email. If I go and just watch the match on Saturday and introduce myself, I can give her some of my marketing material. But is there anything you'd send her ahead of time as far as, you know, asking her some questions or?
Yeah, that's a good question. I'd say, well, make sure she has your website, because, yeah, you have a great website and all. And if you can, anything that you want her to know about, if you've got a particular page on your website, it's best to, well, not just send people to a home page, but the main page, but to a particular page where you talk about what you do. Maybe an article is good. You know, if you've written an article, you know, I would say if you could write an article on tennis, you know, it's like sports psychology of tennis, or if you have one already, a pointer to that page of that article, or you can, write one real quick, just go on to, you can get ideas by just Googling psychology of tennis,
mm-hmm.
and then get some ideas, or just a few tips that you might have. Say, it could be real short, too, just maybe 200 words. It could be three top tips or five top tips for mental training for tennis, and, write that out real, it couldn't take you too long, and then just put it up on your blog there, and then so you have that particular page, and then you could send her the link to that page, so that and then at the bottom of it have your little bio blurb that tells who you are and what you do, so she can be reading that too at the bottom of the article. The coaching services you offer and workshops and that kind of thing. So you might give her two, or you could send her to two links on your page, one to article, you know, some helpful information, and then another page with that gives, you know, the service, any services that you want to offer her, like your coaching or workshops, you know, that describes that. If you have any, do you have any videos of yourself talking?
I have that video of you and I.
Okay, well, that, yeah, with us together, yeah, you could send her that.
And then I have the video that you did, a reference for me, which was really good.
Oh, yeah, so that would be great to send her that, yeah, so she could look at that, you know, a recommendation for you, especially
Yeah,
video.
Those are great ideas, okay.
Yeah, because videos are really powerful, even more as powerful as words, but people have different modes of learning. Some people are more visual, and some people are more, you know, reading, yeah, or they're more into text. So if you send them both options, then they'll be, yeah, hopefully more likely to look at both of them, or they'll go to the mode they're most comfortable with, that kind of thing. So great, okay. Well, I've got to get...
Okay, great, thank you.
Yeah, yeah, that's a really good question. Yeah, you can always think of things, yeah, specific page, and then if you have, you know, two or three tips that are really key to her, you can just include that in the body of the email, too, so that she doesn't have to click on a link. If it's something short, then she can, you know, most likely read it right there. In case she doesn't click on the link, you've got something right there, too. So,
yeah, I have some good articles about mental training and tennis, so I can put something together from that.
Yeah, so that way it establishes you as the expert, and you're and that you know what you're talking about, and can, you know, so you can see that you could offer value right away. That would be great. So yeah.
Yeah, that makes a big difference.
So, you know, something, you know, maybe an email before you meet with her, and then she'll be there at the tennis match?
Yeah, she'll be at, she said that she wants me to call her. She's interested in hearing more about it, but then I just went on the website and noticed that they have a game at home this weekend.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go and watch some of the match and introduce myself. But
yeah.
I think ahead of time, that's a great idea. If I were to send her some important tips about mental toughness with tennis, and then maybe something from my web page, and then if I can send that video that you did about me, would be a really good thing to give her ahead of time.
Yeah, yeah, that would be great. Yeah, that'd be great. And I'll do that. Do a video with each of you that are, you know, in our program here, as you get certified here, just I'm happy to do that with a Google Hangouts just interview with you and stuff. So just for everyone, just let me know when you'd like to. If you haven't done one yet with me, just let me know a good time and date, and we'll do that to promote you as well. So that'd be great, Amy. And just send her something beforehand, and then yeah, nothing like a in-person, you know, meeting is great when you're there. And then you could do a follow-up email afterwards, too, send her more information. So it's
okay, great.
Drips of information along the way is the best way over time. Yeah, okay, great. I've got to get to an appointment here myself. So, yeah, great. Thanks. Thank you, Amy, and thanks, Michelle, and everyone on the call. This is a great call. Lots of people, and so our next one will be February 13th at 9 a.m. Pacific and 12 Eastern, and we'll see you all then, all right?
Okay, thank you.
Thanks. Okay, have a good night. Bye.
You too. Bye.